Thought Bubble Audio.
Look, up in the sky!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Welcome to Beer with Geeks with Tim and Frank.
Who are you?
I'm Batman.
I am Iron Man.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
My name is Inigo Montoya.
You're a wizard, Harry.
A couple of guys with a couple of beers and a whole lot of pop culture nostalgia.
Make it so, number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
Name the dog in the ant.
Life finds a way.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Now sit back and crack open a cold one. Because it's time for Beer with Geeks.
It comes in pints?
Shaken, not stirred.
Great Scott!
I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though.
Hi, and welcome to Beer with Geeks, where two geeks geek out with beer. I'm Tim, and with me, as always, is my ancillary friend Frank. How are you today?
I am just a secondary player. You are the star of this story, and I am just here.
So glad that we finally agree about that.
Yeah,
It's been really like cut the butter kind, cut the tension kind thing in our relationship. But no, I'm just kidding. We're over it. We're definitely partners in this podcast relationship.
We very much are.
Yeah. What are you drinking tonight?
I am drinking something I have waited a long time to drink.
A long time.
A long time. I have taken to trying a little bit of homebrew.
Cool.
Making some homebrew.
Making some brew.
Yeah. So I brewed a small batch, a 1 gallon batch of a Belgian Trappist style ale. Similar to, if you're familiar with Chimay Red.
Yes.
Chimay Brewing is a Belgian Trappist monastery.
If I Chimay ask you a question.
It's good. I did my version of it, and I'm actually pretty, it was my first like real attempt, technically my third attempt at brewing something, but the first two times I had to throw them out for different reasons, but this is the first time that I've really like, okay, I'm actually going all the way through the process and bottling it and everything, and I'm actually pretty happy with the results considering it's like the first time I've actually done it.
Cool. I'm also drinking the same thing, which I am now forever calling Paul Revere's.
I was gonna call it Ramble Brew, but that's
good. I like Ramble Brew too. Then kind of roll
Paul Revere's inside. Ramble Brew.
Oh yeah, all right. Ramble Brew is your company. Paul Revere is the kind.
There you go.
But I haven't tried it yet, so here we go.
And is he spitting it out? No, he's not.
It's very good, Frank. I think you're down on yourself.
I'm happy with it. For a first attempt, I'm happy with it. It's got kind of the fruity taste that Chimay typically has. It's not as like the flavor isn't. I don't know how to describe it. I'm not as articulate about beer as I like to be, but it doesn't taste exactly the same as the real thing. But it's pretty close, and for my first attempt, I'm pretty proud of myself. So I'm happy with it.
It's good.
I definitely enjoy it. You know, the couple times that it was nowhere near this level of drinkability. So I'm happy with it.
I really like it.
Thank
it's
you.
Good.
Thanks a lot.
It's good. Know what I really like?
What do you like?
I also really like characters that are not superheroes but live in the superhero world. So you know, characters that really sometimes have no business being in films because like, we don't have enough screen time for you. So you know, I like people like that. So what we've done, you and I, is I've assembled a list, and I've assembled this, and you've assembled the list. I just thought of another one, so I put it on my
There you go,
my listy list. Let's go back and forth, and if we have one, and talk about them, and if we have one that
one that we share,
we can just talk about that too.
Okay, sounds good. Do you want to kick it off?
You talk first. Yeah,
Poe Dameron style.
That was in my. I woke up with that in my brain this morning.
Really?
When I like was sleeping. Yeah, nice. I think I had a weird dream. It was like monsters and something, but I remember like being like in the dream, like being kidnapped or whatever, or and it was like you talk first.
See, the comedic relief in your own dream.
In my own dream.
Love it.
Not in like real life. I just make people cry. All right, so go ahead.
Okay. So so comic book movies, people who are not the main villain or the main hero, but are still major players.
They play a major. They're the major player behind the hero or the villain.
So the first thing that came to my mind was Amy Adams' Lois Lane.
Okay.
I actually, as much as I am not a fan of what DC is doing with Man of Steel and with Batman v Superman, I really think that Amy Adams' Lois is a really, really good portrayal. Probably the best I've seen on the big screen.
I would say definitely the best on the big screen. Lois was not on my list just because I don't really like any of the Loises that have been on the big screen. Mm-hmm. Like, Margaret Kidder's fine.
I don't like Margaret Kidder.
This one's fine. Yeah. What's her name? Kate Bosworth is not anywhere close to fine.
Subpar.
So
not
like
terrible, but subpar.
So Amy Adams is the best one, I guess. But to me, like, it's still not enough Lois. Like,
okay,
Lois is like, Amy Adams is like a subdued Lois.
Yeah,
and like, there's just like, she's smart and she gets it and she, like, all this stuff, she has a bunch of it, but she just, like, it doesn't feel like an authentic Lois, and I can't put my finger on exactly why.
Okay.
It just doesn't settle with me the same way. So so it doesn't make my list, but I'm glad she made yours.
Yeah. No, she definitely makes mine. I think she has, for me, she has the things that Lois should have. She has the spunk. She is a reporter, and I really like that at the end of Man of Steel, you know, she figures out who he is because she is a reporter.
Yeah.
She should know this. She should be smart and figure it out. I like that she can figure it out, even though no one else can. Mm-hmm. She's been close enough to him the whole movie and been tracking down his scent.
Yeah,
it makes sense to me that she figures out who he is. I like that she has the reporter's nose, and she has the persistence and the perseverance to just keep going and always follow the story to its logical conclusion. I really like that about her, those characteristics to me are what Lois Lane should be, and Amy Adams, I think, is just brilliant in her portrayal. So I really like her, and the way she plays that role. So she gets my vote. Who gets your first vote?
My first vote, you're going to laugh when you hear it.
Save that for later.
Yeah, my first vote is Alfred. So I think that, like, yeah.
Yeah,
so,
that he's on my list too.
Yeah, but I think that's really funny that, like, you took, like, the woman behind your favorite hero, and I took what is the replacement of a woman that would be behind Batman, which is his loyal butler, Alfred.
That's true.
But, yeah, Alfred is, like, quintessential, like, non-superhero, like, you can't make a Batman story
without Alfred. Yeah,
it's almost impossible.
Now, which Alfred are we talking about?
That's an actually interesting question. I was really racking my brain with it before, because I really like Michael Goff as Alfred. He was a really good Alfred. I mean, he's not, like, in the way, like, in the greatest portrayal of the character, he's not written the best way, because he's like, oh, by all means, come into the Batcave. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, what's that? Creepy people wearing masks? I'll just open the door. Like, whatever. You know, just, he's not the brightest Alfred.
Sure.
But he has that sass and that wisdom behind him. Michael Caine, I think, took it a step further, and there was really a deep relationship between the two of them. But Michael Caine's Alfred, I never felt that maybe he could sit at the computer and help him if he needed to. You know what I mean? Like, Alfred's there. Like, but, you know, I think he would be confused with the buttons.
Yeah, it was much more the emphasis on the butler side of things and less on the assistant to Batman.
The mentor side. Yeah. And so, actually, I think Jeremy Irons is actually my favorite Alfred because he's clearly got the mentorship. He has the mentorship, but he also, he very much is more akin to, like, a bodyguard and a partner than he is just like, I'll get you a sandwich. Because one of their first scenes together is in Bruce's house, and, like, Bruce brings him a cup of coffee.
Which is
a big twist on what a butler does.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I their rapport, and he is the sassiest of the Alfreds, I think. Like, Michael Caine is sassy, but not in the same way. I think he actually gets less sassy as the movies go on, too.
He gets much more grandfatherly and sage and less sassy.
Exactly. But Alfred, I think, always remains sassy. That's part of the way he copes with everything.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
Yeah, and so, and I mean, Batman v Superman, he's been Batman for 20 years.
Right.
So he's been sassy that long. That's how he copes. And so I think it's the best version of the character I've seen on screen so far.
All right.
He's a smexy Alfred, too.
He is. Yeah, he's a good looking man.
Yeah. All right. Next up.
Next up. Are we going on a trip? Are we going to Addis Ababa, Mr. Luthor?
What is the number 210? So telling for me and you. It's your weight in my IQ. All right.
Otis. Otis Berg.
It's just a little small place, Mr. Luthor. Just right outside
Otis is next on my list. Not necessarily that he's the number two greatest sidekick of all time or anything, but he is so much fun. He's one of the things that I really, really I have enjoyed every time about Superman the movie. I have a odd relationship with Superman the movie. I think people expect that I'm that I absolutely love it because I'm such a big Superman fan.
Yeah.
It's very, very good, but it's not necessarily... It wasn't my Superman.
George Reeves is your Superman.
Well, yeah, that was my first Superman.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say like he's my Superman anymore.
So who's your Superman? Do you have one?
Yeah, my Superman is on screen, I don't know if I have one, actually. Like a
live action.
A live action one, I don't know if I have a perfect... like. It would be a blend of like George Reeves and Christopher Reeve and Brandon Routh, I think. But
I think that's cheating.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. There's not any one. I mean, if I have to pick one, I'll say George Reeves. But because it was my first, and you know, but I don't. You know, I've kind of evolved past that, and I don't just need him to be defending Metropolis against bank robbers and you know,
I just meant
jumping out windows and stuff.
The way that the character is. Not even portray, but like, you know, stood for something the way he stands for it. You know,
it's not a perfect fit for me anymore. It used to be, but it's not. You know, if they made a live action, a perfect live action representation, get ready for it, of which F. Johns did in 2008, 2010, if that was on screen, that would be my ideal Superman.
See, that's funny because I read that and it's just Christopher Reeve.
No, but I mean, that's because the Gary Frank art.
Yeah.
That's because Gary Frank drew Christopher Reeve.
Yeah.
But his
Clark Kent even is just kind of, it's like, it's not as bumbling, but he's pretty bumbling.
You know what? I'm going to say Dean Cain. I'm going to say Dean Cain is actually probably the closest, now I think about it, Dean Cain is probably the closest approximation.
Dean Cain's not my favorite Superman, but he's definitely my favorite Clark.
Favorite Clark.
His Superman is a little corny. Like,
yeah, and it goes through a little bit of a transformation over the four seasons of that show, but it's corny, but it's 90s corny, so it's like
it's okay,
it takes itself seriously, but it's not like Batman 66 corny where it's like
it was a joke,
where it's like, oh, Alfred's wearing glasses over his little domino mask.
It's sincere corny.
Yeah, it is. Exactly, sincere corny. So I would say that's probably the closest, you know, in its time period that was, it's corny with age, but in the time period, it was like, look, it's friggin' Superman. And like, watching it through that lens, I enjoy it. So I would actually probably say that's probably the closest.
Yeah.
You know, none of them are perfect.
I wasn't looking at TV in like the range.
I'm not either. But anyway, Otis.
Yeah. that was a digression.
That was a big, big digression.
Yeah.
Otis is a lot of fun in those movies. Oh, because I said I don't love Superman the movie.
Boom.
Yes.
Boom, 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 boom. That's the walking tuba.
It's literally like the fat man's theme.
And it
very much has the theme that John Williams wrote for Otis is very similar to the like droids theme in the original Star Wars.
Same era. He goes through those periods.
He does. Yeah,
Hook is very, his 90s stuff is very close together. So when you get to Harry Potter, it's like a condensed version of all his 90s stuff.
Last digression, I promise. Did you realize? So like the Harry Potter, not Harry Potter, the Mary Poppins movie that's coming out with Lin-Manuel Miranda and Emily Blunt,
Meryl Streep.
Did it occur to you that that's basically just Hook, but for Mary Poppins, because it's just like the kids of the original generation grew up.
Oh my god, yeah.
It's basically Hook, but for Mary Poppins.
Yeah, good call.
Isn't that an interesting concept?
Yeah. Somebody I just saw was going to play Michael.
Yes.
Who was it? I can't remember.
I don't remember.
You heard and you went, yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's I can't remember who it was either. But yeah, it's Michael grown up.
Yeah.
And his kids, with Mary Poppins.
That's basically Hook.
It's basically Hook.
It's a good point.
Huh.
So anyway, really good point.
I was listening to Hollywood Babylon, and they talked about it.
Oh,
and when I heard Ralph Garman's summary, I'd heard in bits and pieces, I'd heard the whole summary of the film over the course of a few months, and then hearing him just describe it, I was like, oh, that's Hook, but with a flying nanny.
Ben Whishaw was going to play
from
Ben Whishaw plays Q in the
Daniel Craig
Bond movies, yep, amongst many other things. I saw Ben Whishaw play John Proctor in The Crucible on Broadway. I
remember you saying that? Yes.
Okay. Cool.
Anyway,
moving on.
Otis.
Otis is good. Pepper.
Ah, yes.
Yeah,
she's on my list too.
Good. Okay. Yeah, Pepper is great. Pepper is the only person that can keep Tony in line the way that he should be. And
I've got such a crush on
Pepper.
On Pepper.
Yeah,
and specifically on Gwyneth Paltrow's Pepper. But
yeah, great. She's just great across the board. I we're moving very slowly through these lists, so
we are
going to pick up the pace a little bit. So okay, we both agree that we love Pepper.
Yay, and
I think Pepper. Everybody loves Pepper. So
no, his name is Agent.
His name is okay. You're next.
My next one. I'm going to go with Hank Pym. Does that count? Since he's not like the main hero of that movie,
I'll give it to you because he's not.
I know that really was on the line.
Yeah,
but I'm gonna go with.
We never really see him be Ant-Man, like,
right?
Kind of do, but not really. I'll give it to you.
He's not the main. You know,
I'm gonna give it to you.
He's the Mr. Miyagi of that movie.
I'll give it to you.
Michael Douglas is Hank Pym. I really enjoy both his portrayal as the elder Hank Pym as well as his portrayal as the CG youthified.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's good.
It was really fun. I thought he was he had good comedy quips and stuff to go with Paul Rudd, and they played off well each other.
Yeah.
I guess.
I always like Michael Douglas and things.
Agreed.
This is very weird. This is a very weird pull, but I really like the Russian mob guy from the Dark Knight. From the Dark Knight. Yeah,
that is a weird pull, but yeah. I like it.
My
All right.
dogs are hungry.
Yeah.
We should have to hire the clown. You know, I just don't know why. I just like that guy. Why should we listen to you?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know why I like that.
That's good.
It's probably his little weird accent and whatever else, but he's just so nonchalant about
being
a mobster.
That's
why I enjoy him. Cause like, you know, Maroney's there and he's all like, you know, I'm Maroney and I'm tough. You know, like I thought the DA just played golf with the mayor and things like that. I also really like Maroney, but you know, he's just like, you know, the cops basically get on the TV and say, you know, like, we're going to arrest everybody. And he's like, no, we hired the clown. You know, like, what the, you know, he's just going to eat my steak.
He's like eating.
Yeah. Right.
That's true.
I like that guy.
All right. Yeah. I'll give you that. That's good. Yeah. That's good. That's okay. A good one. I like that. I just realized I don't have any, other than Otis, I don't have any villains on here. Peggy Carter.
Oh, Peggy's on my list.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Peggy's on my list.
Peggy is, she's beautiful, she's smart, she's conniving, she's everything that a good spy needs to be. She's able to blend in, but she's able to stand out, both in the Captain America movies as well as in her show, which sadly is coming to a close, but she said that she would gladly come back. Haley Atwell said she'd come back if they ever did a Netflix series or something and she could make it, she would do it. So Peggy Carter, I think, is awesome. Love her.
Yeah, I love Peggy Carter. Again, we agree, so let's move on.
All right.
I really like Martin Sheen's Uncle Ben from Amazing Spider-Man.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, Cliff Richards, I think it was Cliff Richards, his Uncle Ben from the Tobey Maguire, Sam Raimi films, was good, and he was like very Uncle Ben, but the Uncle Ben of the Amazing Spider-Man movie was kind of sassy, like, and he was very on the nose. He's like, look, Peter, I know I didn't go to college and you were, you know, like, you could think better than me when you were like, you know, I stopped being able to help you with your homework in like the fourth grade.
That's right.
But he's on the nose. Like when Peter's got that picture of Gwen on his computer, but it's like of the whole, it's like of the whole mock trial team or whatever.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, pretty girl, you know, like he knows exactly why that's there.
Yep.
And I really like that Uncle Ben.
I do. Michael. And like, There's nothing that Martin Sheen does that's not awesome.
That's
like, he's
so true,
brilliant. And everything
I mean, his introduction in that movie is like barefoot coming up from the cellar, and she's and you know, Aunt May's like, don't put that stuff on Taylor. Like, yeah, here's my bowling trophies.
I know, you know? Like, so endearing. Yeah, he's so good. He's so good. By the way, it's Cliff Robertson.
Cliff Robertson.
Cliff Richards was. I was the only reason I question you on that, and sorry to call you out, but
no, that's the only reason I knew I wasn't right.
The only reason is Cliff Richards was a British singer in the 60s,
no,
a pop singer.
Okay,
and I was like, that's not right. That, yeah. That's the only reason
I knew. I knew Cliff, and I just couldn't get the rest of the. Yeah. I couldn't get the rest of my name in there. Okay.
All right,
you're
so
up.
I'm up. My next for my next trick, I'm gonna go. That's actually the end of my list because we had some common ones. That brings me to the end of my list. So
okay. Do I just go through mine?
Go through the rest of yours.
Okay,
and we have some time now. It gives us some time.
Okay,
to
we can
elaborate.
I'm surprised that some of these are not actually going to be on your list, and as I go through them. Michael Pena from Ant-Man, whatever his name is.
Oh, yeah.
This one time, I was here with my cousin Orlando, and we were there, and we were drinking some wine, but, you know, not the right, because, you know, my stomach, it gets a little, you know, like, you know, like.
It was so good.
That was really good. It's funny, because when I first saw it, it kind of grated on me. And
really?
I don't know why, but then on rewatches, I was like, no, this is, like, really funny.
I only
like,
saw it the one time, so.
Oh, okay. I mean, I liked Michael Pena before I saw the movie, so I was like, I can't be, I just don't like Michael Pena, because I know he's funny. I just like for whatever reason I don't know what it was about it. Yeah,
you know what, I actually do have one. The TJ Miller character in Deadpool.
Oh, he's
so
great.
Good.
He looked like a avocado had sex with an older avocado. yeah
so great.
Yeah, I actually would have really liked more TJ Miller in that movie.
Me too. I bet there are some.
Yeah,
I'm sure there's some improv gems on the cutting room floor.
Yeah.
In that movie, I don't have the Blu-ray or anything, so I don't know if any gag reels
sure.
or deleted scenes or anything.
I can't remember.
But
yeah,
I bet there's some real good
stuff.
Pretty
sure there's definitely a gag reel, but because I remember I have a like Miranda Bachman is like in the tube and she's like fake screaming and she's like whatever. It's so funny, so funny.
Oh, so
they
great.
Were clearly having a good time.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah, but I can't remember his name. So like I feel like maybe it shouldn't go on my list because I can't remember his name. But whatever. That's fine. Agent Coulson.
Always.
Yeah.
Always.
Why wasn't Agent Coulson on your list?
You know what?
Yeah.
Now he is.
Yeah.
In spirit, he is.
Good. Good. Yeah, I mean, that was a nothing part in Iron Man.
And therefore, he turned it into a freaking role of a lifetime.
He turned it into a television show.
Yes.
The whole reason the show exists is because of Agent Coulson.
Single-handedly.
Yeah.
Because of Clark Gregg and the way he portrayed that role.
Yep.
And the way that fans imprinted on that role, on that character.
Yep.
He turns it into a freaking TV series.
Going into its fourth season.
Well, its fourth season.
It's
like,
crazy.
Was it 2008? Who would have imagined?
I know.
That years later, he'd still be playing that role.
I know.
Weekly.
And I think he's actually more interesting in the movies than he is on the show.
I agree with that.
Because like when he's a company man. So when he's in charge of the company, he's a little less interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Which he's actually not going to be in charge of the company in season 4. The guy who, I can't remember his name right now, I'm blanking, but the guy who voices Batman in the connected DC animated films, you know who I'm talking about.
Dietrich Bader?
No, Dietrich Bader voiced him in Brave and the Bold.
Oh, you're right.
I can't. You know what I'm talking about. He's got like the little chin thing on his mask, and that's that. You know, DC puts out 3 films a year. 2 of them are connected, and 1 of them is not. And he's the one that plays. I haven't used a look up yet, so I'm actually just going to.
All right.
Justice League versus Teen Titans. Fine. Yeah, okay. That's one that your name is Jason O'Mara. Jason O'Mara is coming into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to play. So the voice of Batman is now the head of S.H.I.E.L.D. on that show. Yeah.
Hail Hydra.
Agent Coulson going to the bad guy realm. Bob the Goon from Batman 89.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah. How do you not like Bob? That's Jack Nicholson's friend that he wanted in the movie.
I just wouldn't have thought of that. That's great.
Bob the Goon. Bob, you are my number one guy. Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's so good.
Yeah.
That's so good.
It's great. I love Bob the Goon. Bob, done. Yeah. Yeah, it's great. He doesn't say anything,
man.
But he's just there. His name's Bob, and he's a goon.
How about the guy who's played by Porkins in Batman 89?
Oh, Eckhart.
Eckhart.
Yeah. Hey, Eckhart. Think about...
is funny because Aaron Eckhart later played Two-Face.
That's right.
Anyway.
Actually, there's a lot of members of, like, those casts and those movies that I really enjoy, maybe not my favorites, but certainly some of those ancillary characters are pretty fun.
You know who we can't go on without mentioning?
Yeah.
Billy Dee Williams's portrayal of Harvey Dent.
Yeah. Harvey Dent, make good on that promise. Harvey, yeah.
I would have loved him to be Two-Face.
Yeah.
I would have loved him.
It was part of his contract.
I know it was.
So dumb.
I know.
Yeah. I know.
What we got was fine.
Tommy Lee Jones just went in there and hammed it up. But nobody didn't really ham up, which is actually on my list, is Colonel Phillips from Captain America.
Ooh.
I love Colonel Phillips in that movie. That film really has a really good secondary cast. It's got Colonel Phillips, it's got Peggy Carter, it's got his whole little gang of allied forces.
Howard Stark.
There's a really good chunk of characters.
It's a lot of good meat on that bone.
Yeah, exactly. And I really love Colonel Phillips, where he's, you know, like, why are you being so
Bucky,
nice
of
to
course.
Me? I brought you dinner.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, even on top of that, Dr.
Octopus.
No. I hate you.
Strange.
No, those are just keep saying doctors. I'll think of it.
Oh, doctor. Oh,
doctor.
Couple of doctors. Doctors in the hallway.
Doctor.
Come Doom.
On, Stanley Tucci. Erskine.
Oh, Dr. Erskine. Stanley Tucci.
I love him in that movie.
Well, I mean, anything Stanley Tucci touches.
Yeah, is gold. But, yeah. I mean, he only took that part because he wanted to play a part with a German accent.
Is that so?
Yeah, he's I've always wanted to do a German accent in a movie. I'll do it in this movie because he's German.
Amazing.
Yeah,
I love
just
that.
Like, where are you from? Queens.
I love
Second to Broadway. Before that, Germany.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I love that.
Same old schnapps, huh? I don't have the procedure tomorrow. Drink it later. Drink it now. Yeah, I love... He's a great part.
Fantastic.
I love that. 2004 is Daredevil. Despite it being a pretty mediocre film, I really liked... Foggy. I really like John Favreau's Foggy Nelson.
That's right. John Favreau was Foggy Nelson.
Yeah.
I completely blocked that out.
Yep.
That is, John Favreau's awesome. Like, he just...
That movie in some places has a lot going for it. Like,
Michael Clark Duncan alone.
Yeah.
That alone makes that movie worth it. I don't care. I'm sorry. I know it's not a good movie.
Clark Duncan alone. I've seen a lot worse movies.
I've seen much worse movies.
There's actually a thing online where it's like Bullseye, never misses, expert assassin, blah, blah, blah. Then Deadshot, expert assassin, blah, blah, blah. Both taken down by this guy. Yeah, coincidence. Yes. I like his John Favreau a lot. Like when he like he doesn't notice that Matt passes him the mustard instead of the honey, and he takes us and he spits it out, and Lecter's like, friend of yours, and she's like, and he's like, you know, I've never seen him before. the movie's got some stuff going for it, you know. Her name is Elektra Nachos. She sounds like a Mexican appetizer.
I don't even remember that, but it sounds about right.
He's got a lot going for it. Okay, I have my last two here.
Okay.
They're actually from the same movie. This one was hard because this is another, particularly the first one, I think has a really strong supporting cast.
Okay.
That are not technically like the superheroes in a lot of ways. But Anthony Hopkins is Odin.
Oh, yes.
Is gold.
Yes.
Really. I remember reading an interview with him and talking about how, like, you know, what was it like filming? And he's like, it was a breeze. I just said my lines and everybody hammed it up around me and chewed the scenery. It was great. Yeah, I had a great time. I really enjoyed his Odin. And he is actually back for Thor 3. There's some set photos released.
Okay. I was going to pull up to see if you had seen.
Yeah, actually, his little
homeless,
Odin.
Odin.
His homeless Odin. Yeah, I saw that. Do you see the before and after picture that... Tom Hiddleston posted?
No.
Yeah, there's like a them filming the him and Hemsworth filming the first Thor, and then now, and they look like little babies.
They look like babies.
They look like babies.
I bet they do.
So funny. They look great though.
Yeah.
Like, good God. Did you know this is a digression, that Tom Hiddleston recorded an audiobook of James Bond?
What?
Yeah. I think it's Octopussy. I'm pretty sure he did Octopussy or Moonraker. It's one or the other. Because the other one who... No, I'm not done yet. The other one who did Octopussy or Moonraker is Bill Nighy.
What?
Yeah, I know.
That's my internal monologue right now.
And this episode is brought to you by Audible.com.
where I'm literally logging in right now to see if either of those are available. I already used my credit for this month.
Yeah, they're not expensive.
Oh my God.
Like, they're like maybe $10 or $13 or something like that. And they're not long because the James Bond books are pretty short. So I think like the Hiddleston one's like 3 hours.
Oh my God.
But it's 3 hours of Tom Hiddleston as James Bond.
Tim.
Yeah.
You've changed my life tonight. You have changed my freaking life.
Yeah. Oh, actually, tonight. I have them. I can tell you which ones they are. Okay. I'll tell you after. I'll tell you after. And so my other
one.
God. I know. I feel like I should end on that. I don't even like want to finish my other one.
So you can find us online. So it was Octopussy. It is for Tom Hiddleston.
Okay, then that means
it's Octopussy and The Living Daylights and Other Stories.
I believe those are narrated by
Tom Hiddleston and some others.
But I'm pretty sure
it's in one book.
Yeah, it's in one book.
Add to wish list.
Yep. So Bill Nighy must be he's Moonraker.
Then.
Yeah.
Is the book any better than the movie?
Moonraker's the book is nothing like the movie.
Oh,
it's
good.
Actually not the same plot at all. They just took the name.
Excellent.
Just because it had to do with space.
There he is. Right? Bill Nighy, Moonraker.
Yeah. It had this.
Add to wish list.
Yep. It has nothing to do with the movie.
Bill Nighy reads Eric Clapton's autobiography. Add to wish list.
I think you should send this episode to Audible and be like,
please sponsor us.
Just sponsor us, please, because we're just literally scrolling through your page. This is a new low for us here at Beer with Geeks.
New desperation.
Well, yeah, let's see what audible.com has to offer today. I mean, there's some
pick an actor, any actor, we'll find some books that they read.
I have some stuff. There's Elijah Wood reading Huck Finn.
Oh, that's cool.
On here. There's some more that Colin Firth reads something I can't remember now. You're gonna look it up. The End of the Affair. Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
All right.
But anyway, so, and my last one, since the digression is actually kind of her thing, is Darcy, Kat Dennings character from Thor.
Mimia.
Yeah. I really like her character. It's really
funny. She's excellent.
Yeah. They took my iPod too. I had like 30 new songs on there.
Is she coming back for Ragnarok? Do we know?
I don't think so. Natalie Portman's not coming back.
Stellan Skarsgård, who, by the way, is on my list now.
I was going to put him on my list, but I was like, I already have. I already have three people from this movie on my list.
Oh, true. Is he coming back?
I don't know.
Selvig? All right.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I like Stellan Skarsgård in almost anything. Yeah. There's a. I think I told you there's a Swedish movie with him coming out. It's basically Taken, but with Stellan Skarsgård.
Yes.
It's definitely more of an indie artsy than that is.
But
it looks really good. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you like foreign films and subtitles, which I do,
right? And action movies,
then by all means. Well, foreign action movies are great because it's a lot of action. Yeah. You don't have to worry about
dialogue. Doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Cool.
Yeah.
Good list. You outdid me.
You know, it's so funny because we just sat here 2 minutes before.
Yeah, we really did.
But know what I did? I scrolled through my iTunes movies and I went, that movie was helpful because I knew there'd be ones that I wouldn't remember.
See, if I was smart, I would have looked at the Wikipedia articles for like DCEU and MCU. But I just went by memory. So there you go. That's the best you get. You get 10 from Tim and 6 from me.
Yeah. Those are my good ancillary characters. I mean, there's some on there that I would like. I think I just would consider villains that didn't make the list that maybe other people, like Fiora from Man of Steel is awesome, but she's really a villain, so I'm not, so I don't count it.
Yeah, that's I mean, like, she's secondary to Zod, but she's still.
Like, the whole cast of Suicide Squad are villains and heroes of the story.
I definitely wouldn't count Suicide Squad.
Amanda Waller would be on my list, but she's really not.
She's too major a character in the movie to fit this list. She's not ancillary.
No, exactly. She's too.
Rick Flagg, maybe.
Rick Flagg was very important to that story.
Yeah.
But he would be on my list
because
I like Rick Flagg. They're too involved in the story for it to matter, for it to count. So, so that's it.
Excellent.
Yeah, that was fun.
That was fun.
That was fun.
I'm glad we did that.
Yeah, me too. So you can find us on Beer with Geeks at beerwithgeeks.com, at Gmail, at Facebook, and Twitter at Beer with Geeks. You can rate us, review us on iTunes at Satchel, Overcast, iTunes, Google Play, all places that podcasts are found.
Mm-hmm.
And
thoughtbubbleaudio.com. Check out thoughtbubbleaudio.com and see all of our shows.
You can see all of our shows, our network of shows, The Marketers Next Door, Supergirl TV Talk,
all the great shows.
All the great shows. All three shows.
As Merlin Mann always says.
Yes.
Very cool. All right. This was fun, buddy.
This was a lot of fun.
All right. Thank you for drinking my homebrew and talking about superheroes with me.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Anytime. Always fun. All right. Well, until cheers. Next
time. Cheers.
That's a satisfying sound.